making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. How many are glad the sun is shining this morning? Hallelujah. I saw a lot of after Thanksgiving glaze on everybody's eyes this morning. And that is, it's almost like you don't know what hit you. But if you think about it, then you're almost afraid to think about it because you know what did it, right? And the other thing I noticed is my shirt, my suit, they fit tighter for some reason. I think when I was gone on Thanksgiving break, I think somebody got into the house and they adjusted the humidity or something in the house, and it shrunk my suit. I just know it did. I'm sure you never saw that happen and you never had that problem. But anyway, I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Pray for Brother Mark. He's not feeling good today. And so just pray that he'll get back on his feet again, because we like him here, we need him here, and so pray for him. And we have several others that are out. The flu is magically back, and so we start to see. And then the good old-fashioned crud. I don't know if you have that here in East Tennessee, but in Alabama, there's just sometimes there's a season where he said, "What's wrong with you?" And they said, "I just got the crud." And so I don't know that that's an official diagnosis, but there is that is running around. And so we need to pray about that. Real quick, we've got some housekeeping that we need to tend to real quick. There's been somebody has not been able to simply safe their house because I've got their remote right here. All right. And I have a notion to go around and just kind of go to everybody in our class and just press buttons and when I go around their house. But if you forgot if you accidentally lost your Simply Safe on-off remote, then it's right here. Just come right up and grab it, and you can lock your house again at night, all right? Other than that, then you just have to freewheel it, all right? Last week, we had a missionary with us, Paul and Sherry Zimmer. How many remember them? That was a wonderful time that we had. And appreciate Brother Buddy giving testimony. And I apologize again for interrupting, but Brother Buddy, he started off on, because he goes every year, he knows what's going on, and he just started in on like we all knew what was going on, and so I interrupted, and I do apologize for that, but I think we got everybody on the same track, and it was very interesting what we learned last week and what the Lord is doing on those islands, and so that's a wonderful thing. Now, Paul and Sherry, they left a little list here in case anybody wants to receive their prayer letter so that you can keep up with what's going on. And then there's a sign-up list. And what we'll do is, Brother Larry, if you don't mind putting that on the table, and then at the end of the Sunday school class, if you would like to receive their prayer letter, then that'll be a sign-up list, all right? We're praying for Josh Gabbert this morning. This is David Wampler's nephew, is that correct? And he has cancer, so we're going to pray for him this morning. We have many others. How many receive either by email or you pick up on Sunday morning our prayer list that's usually on the back table here? If you have an update on those names that are listed here, we ask and we're depending on you to go ahead and update us so we can keep that current. But thank the Lord for this. It's a big help throughout the week to pray. On top of that list, I saw Brother Larry Russell. And many of you saw him this morning already. He's back, and he's going to put things back in shape. He's marching around, checking out Sunday school classes and being involved, and he's excited about doing that as well. And he looks good, too. I told him he looked younger than when he left. So I don't know what that means, but anyway, We're thankful for him. Please be in special prayer for Tom Morris. Tom Morris is not doing well. He's at home. And just pray for him. Pray for Miss Mary. And we are so grateful that they're here. That's all I got to say. And they've been a wonderful addition to our church. And they're just pleasant to be around. They're one of those folks that when you're done talking to them, it's just nice to have had talked to them. And they're an encouragement. So pray for Miss Mary. Pray for Tom. He needs prayer. And how many traveled over Thanksgiving? You drove somewhere over Thanksgiving. Only two. Wow. And with me, that's three. One more over here. So you drove around the block. That don't count. Leroy went from one house to the next looking for Thanksgiving dinner. How many had more than one Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. More than one Thanksgiving meal. All right, good. Well, good for you. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. And we've got several folks in our church that are recovering. We have several that are, they have some upcoming procedures. Pray for Brother David. He almost got killed by one of his cows. And don't shake him this morning or squeeze him too hard. He's sore. So pray for him, Brother David Rush, back in the back there. I'm looking around. Anybody else with an immediate need? Wonderful. It's good to see everybody. Pray for Angia. She's got something coming up that she needs done. She's one of those that we're praying for, that God'll intervene there. Anybody else?
I see on Facebook, Mrs. Walker's having a pretty difficult time, I think.
We need to pray for Risa Wampler. And she's having a hard time. Pray for her. And she's got her hands full. I know that. So we can't forget those folks. All right? All right, let's go to prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for the time that you've given us to gather together. And Lord, we know that your word specifically said that we do this. And we know that it said that because it helps us. It's good for us to be around those of like faith. It's good for us to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. They strengthen us. They encourage us. They motivate us. And Lord, thank you for that. We're thinking about all those that we've been praying about that are on our list, Lord. And then we have some special needs, Lord. We think about Brother Tom. Be with him this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just touch him. Be with Miss Mary. And Lord, I just pray that you'd wrap your arms around them. And Lord, be with them during this time. We pray for, Lord, we pray for Steve. Steve Alcorn has had some issues this week. And Lord, he's at home. He doesn't get to come. He watches online. And because of that, back issue that he has that's just so debilitating. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with him, you'd comfort him. Let him know that we're thinking about him, we love him, and we wish he was here with us. Lord, we pray also for, we pray for this young man, Josh, Lord, with cancer, Brother David's nephew. Heavenly Father, be with him, touch his body. Cancer's such an ugly thing. And Lord, we just pray that you would be able to intervene there. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this season that we had with family. Lord, being reminded of everything that we have to be thankful for. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, our family and everything that you've done, our jobs, our health, our church, our Sunday school class. When we lay our head down at night, the peace that we have as we sleep and rest. Lord, as we look around us and we see the world that we live in, Lord, how that we know that you're in control. And Lord, that you've asked us not to be anxious, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let our requests be made known unto you. If we do it with thanksgiving, then you'll give us your peace. It passes all understanding. It's going to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We thank you for that today. So much to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the Sunday school lesson today. Holy Spirit of God, we need a touch again from you. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for the indwelling. Thank you for the promptings that you give along the way as we walk in the Spirit. We thank you for that, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray that you'd be with everything that's done today. May it give honor and glory to you and to you alone, for you are worthy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into... We'll continue our study of the Holy Spirit. Last week we finished up one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, and that is the supernatural grace in the form of the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about how that the fruit of the Spirit is not individual fruits that one would strive to obtain, but how that the Bible shows us in Galatians 5, that the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of the fact that you and I have the blessing of the permanent indwelling of the Spirit within us. And so, fruit of is evidence of. When I'm walking in the Spirit, it is evident. You will notice when I'm walking in the Spirit. If I get in the flesh, you will also notice that I'm walking in my flesh. I hate to admit this, but I'm sure that there has been a time or two that you've seen Dan Rogers in the flesh. Okay? And it's not a good thing to see that. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying, I, like you, I have blood that runs through my veins, which makes me human. And as a human being, I'm going to be tempted to do that. And that happens many times when we get frustrated. The choir has experienced that many times. They've experienced Brother Dan get in the flesh and get frustrated. Most of the time, I can admit, it's with himself. Dan gets frustrated with himself a lot. But still, during those times, I need to be reminded of the fact that I have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me, and I need to take advantage of the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in me, and I need not give room to my flesh. My flesh will get me in trouble every time. Every single time it gets me in trouble. And so we don't depend upon the flesh. We depend upon the Spirit that dwells within me. All right, so now that leads us, and honestly, I know I've said this for about 8 weeks now, but we're getting close to the end. All right, we're getting close to the end of our study. But we've been speaking about how the Holy Spirit is involved in our everyday Christian life. Today, we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the Bible. The work of the Spirit in relation to the Word of God. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says this: "But he answered and said," this is Christ speaking. Notice in verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of whom?" Of the Spirit. So even Christ Himself, and here in just a few moments, we're also going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus, but this is one of the points. I'll not get ahead of myself, but this is one of the points, and that is this. Christ Himself, all God, all man, when He showed up on earth, He submitted Himself to the Holy Spirit of God, that third part of the divinity. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He knew what was coming. He knew what was, being all God and being omniscient, knowing everything, he knew what was coming. But as man, God the man, he needed to have gone through that so that he could show you and I what needed to be done. He left us a beautiful example. The Bible says in 2 Peter, I believe it is it 2:21, where it says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Where he has walked, we need to walk. And so there's nothing that will happen in our lives that Christ did not relate to while being here on this earth. And so he says here he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and then when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hangry, right? He was hungry, very hungry. And it was afterward, and hungered, he said. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit is the agency through whom God spoke His Word. He's led of the Spirit, so the Spirit is leading him. The Spirit is guiding him. He is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God led him to answer or to respond in this manner. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And that he left us that example as well. The Bible comes, according to this verse, straight out of the mouth of God. Straight out of the mouth of God. The word, straight out of the mouth of God. It says in 2 Timothy, let's look at that verse. We know it. We're very familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. But we need to read it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. By inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished or throughly furnished unto all good works. The word of the Bible is given by inspiration. The word inspiration here means the same thing. When you study the original language the Bible was written in, the phrase out of the mouth of God and the phrase proceedeth out of the mouth of God and the phrase inspiration, they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing. Out of the mouth of God and inspired by God. The word inspired, you get that from the Greek word theopneustos, from theos, God, pneuma, Spirit breathed. So this, then the meaning is God breathed and from God's Spirit. So the Word of God is God breathed. It is literally the breath of God. That's why the Bible says it is quick. And that means it's alive and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes, it cuts going in, it cuts coming out. No matter which direction it swings, it's doing its work. And it discerns, it goes into the very inward parts of us, and it knows who we are. And it can divide and get rid of all the pretenses, and it can get rid of all those fronts that we throw up, and it goes right to the root cause. That's what the Bible does, because it is inspired, it is God-breathed. Thus the meaning God-breather from God's Spirit. And the word for breath and spirit are the same, meaning that all Scripture is given by the Spirit of God. What a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit then is thus responsible for, and there's four things that we need to remember about the Word of God. They're not hard things, they're very simple. One is revelation. If you're making notes, you would write down revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is when you have a transferring God's Word from God to man. That is revelation. God's Word is being transferred from God to man. The next word you have is inspiration. The inspiration. What is that? That is the transferring of God's Word from man to Scripture. The Bible says that God used holy men. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write and to pen these words, the Word of God, the inspired. It was revealed and then it was also inspired, transferred God's Word from man to Scripture. Then you have illumination. What is illumination? Illumination is the transferring of God's Word from Scripture to man's heart. That is illumination. As we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is involved in illumining us or shining light on us through the Word of God. So you have revelation, you have inspiration, and then you have illumination, which is the transfer of God's Word from Scripture to man's heart. And then lastly, you have the preservation, which is transferring God's Word from the original autographs or manuscripts to the manuscripts and the translation. So you have the preservation of God's Word. The Bible says, God's Word says, that He has preserved His Word. It is forever settled. It will not change. It will remain powerful. What we have this morning, the Word of God that we have this morning, it doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And it is inspired. It has been illuminated. It has been preserved. And so no matter what generation we're in, no matter what language we're in, God has seen fit to preserve His Word so that every single soul that will ever breathe breath will know who He is. That is His ultimate goal, is that every man may know who He is. So that is the work of the Spirit in relation to the Bible. Now, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, according to the following writers and writings. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. David said something here in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said," verse 2, "the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting. And it shows us how the Word of God came to be so that we can read it. Look what Isaiah said. Again, we're going to look at a few verses, but I'm going to be careful to slow it down just a tad. I did take my mineral tranquilizer this morning, so you'll be glad for that. I don't have my second Holy Spirit here with me. Carmen is not here with me today. She usually sits in the back, and she sits in the back on purpose. That is so she can maintain eye contact with Dan Rogers and keep him in check. God has given me a wonderful helpmeet. And if she's listening now, I love her very much. 32 years of putting up with this guy. Can you believe that? There is a special crown in heaven, I know, for her. Isaiah 59 and verse 21. The Bible says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Isaiah 59, verse 21. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth, and, just in case, forever. Hallelujah. All right? Jesus said, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus says in John 14, 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever what? Whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is going to bring that back to remembrance. So the Holy Spirit, we have here him here involved in the Word of God. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, he says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, he says. He also said in 2 Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the verse that we just read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for all these things, all right? And then you have Peter speaking, and we won't look at that, but in Peter, 2 Peter 1:21, and also John says in Revelation, very interesting, he tells us, and we know this, but in Revelation, I'll read this, you don't have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the, once again, the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so we have the Holy Spirit of God involved in the Word of God here. Hebrews also talks about it. All right, so you have the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the Bible. I mean, that's one thing, if nothing else, that I have gleaned from teaching this series on the Holy Spirit is that He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And He is so involved in the believer's life, and we have so much that we have to lean on and to depend on through the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And it's so wonderful. Next, we have the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus. All that Jesus did, He did in absolute, and I'm going to use a huge word that's not common for Dan to use, yieldedness to and dependence. So when Jesus Christ was on the earth, everything that He did by absolutely yielding Himself and depending not on His own power. Did He have power? Yes, He did. It's very interesting. We read when it gets towards the end of His life, as He goes into the process that had to take place in order for you and I to have and experience eternal life and to receive salvation. He had to go through what He had to go through. It's amazing how that you see over and over, and He opened not His mouth. As a sheep, He was led to the slaughter. And the world might look at that as weakness, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried not to say something when you really wanted to? Is that weak of you to just hush? This week, you were with family. Family can be taxing. I love them to death. But there's a reason that the Bible says, man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife and get out of Dodge. That's what it says. That was my interpretation there, right? Family can be taxing. And many times familiarity causes us to get a little loose with our tongue. And many times we can comment on things with family that really is none of our business, but because they're family, we think we can, right? And so refraining from saying something is actually quite hard. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's not when you allow the Holy Spirit to be your strength. And you're walking in the Spirit and you want to say something. You want to say something to that boss. Nothing against bosses. You want to say something to that coworker. Nothing against coworkers. You want to say something to that fellow church member. Nothing against fellow church members. You want to say something to that person that took your seat that you've been sitting in for 35 years. And they just waltzed in and just sat there. Can you believe people would do that? And the Holy Spirit of God, if we're sensitive to the Spirit, He will help us. And He's very involved. Jesus Christ, that second part of the triune God, He yielded Himself to the Spirit in order that He might serve as our example. He was conceived. Remember the Bible says this Christmas time we use conceived by what? By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost, Luke 1:35 and Matthew 1:18. And He was empowered to preach, to minister, to heal, and to perform miracles by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16, Matthew 12, Luke 4. I've got so many verses that we can look at where it shows us that He was empowered by the Spirit. Jesus mourned and rejoiced by the Holy Spirit. John 11, we'll look at this one in John 11. The very kids love John 11:35 because whenever they have to quote Scripture, it's the easiest Scripture in the Bible to quote. Jesus wept. That's your go-to verse when you have to memorize a verse. But in John 11 and verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, what did He groaned how? In the Spirit. He groaned in the Spirit and He was troubled. He was led by the Spirit to mourn. And also in Luke we see that He was led by the Spirit to rejoice. There's times to rejoice in the Spirit. There's times for that. Do you think that Dan Rogers, every Sunday morning, is just walking with God so tightly and so beautifully that the Shekinah glory of God just glows from his bald head every Sunday morning when he comes walking in here? No. I'll be honest with you, being transparent. I don't know, and I couldn't blame anybody because I was the only one in the house this morning, but somebody turned off my alarm this morning. Somebody turned off my alarm. And I was looking around for somebody to blame. I couldn't blame anybody but me. And so that threw me into a mad scramble. And I had to be here earlier this morning than normal. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in stuff and get and not be what you need to be. I have to yield myself to the Spirit in order to be happy. A lot of people, you know, you just think it just comes natural. I, you know, the song service is just so, yeah. Well, inside, I may not be feeling that way, just to be straight up with you. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You say, Lord, if it's going to happen, it ain't going to happen by me today. It has to be you. Do you know that applies to everybody? Everybody. We yield ourselves to the Spirit. Does the Spirit want me to rejoice? Absolutely. Is the Word of God something to be excited about? Is being here something to be excited about? Is what we got going on today something we're going to sing a choir song here in just a little bit that we preach Christ, crucified, risen from the dead. Man, that's something to get fired up about. Now, if I'm not careful and my flesh wins over, I can drag that thing and it come out like sludge out of a kitchen sink. But we got something to be excited about. We yield ourselves to the Spirit. The choir, they must yield themselves to the Spirit. I would imagine, now I don't get into everybody's personal life, but I would imagine as most Sunday mornings, especially if you got kids, pray for the pianist this morning, Miss Jennifer Armstrong. She's got a couple sick ones at home. She's got a mess load of kids. I don't know who'd have five kids. I have five kids. That's why I say that. Five children. And there's hardly a week goes by that one of them aren't sick. And she's going to be here this morning, and she's going to do her best. And I'm sure that things were crazy at her house this morning. You know, she's going to come burning in here and play. And she has to allow the Spirit to work through her when it comes time to play. Pastor, when he gets up, they've got a lot on his plate. He has to yield himself to the Spirit. They're going through it right now with his mother-in-law. She's not feeling well. And father-in-law, and she fell, and you know, and all this stuff, and life, you know, and you just have to yield yourself to the Spirit. You have to block it out. Say, all right, this is what I'm here for. And this is a wonderful thing. So Jesus Christ Himself, He yields Himself to the Spirit. Jesus was sealed by the Spirit. We're in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father, what? Sealed. Just like with us. He was led, filled. He was victorious over Satan and temptation. By whom? By the Spirit. He gave His life for our sins. He rose on the third day. By whom? By the Spirit. Hebrews 9:14, Romans 1:4, 1 Peter. He was commissioned. He commissioned His church in Acts 1, 2 through 8. We read that. And that was done. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit literally peppered throughout our entire existence. Acts 1, 2 says, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, who, Christ, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. He was led by the Spirit in that. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when they were therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But, verse 8, a lot of times we don't read that first part. Verse 8, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then you're going to be witnesses for Me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the entire earth. the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus will return and bring about resurrection by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. So if the sinless Son of God found it necessary to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to form every word, to guide every step, my question this morning for me, how much more must this be absolutely vital for Dan to do? If the Son of God, God the Son, thought it important enough to involve the Holy Spirit and to submit himself to the Holy Spirit of God for everything, why would I not? Why would I not? And that'll be all for this morning. We have just a little bit more. We're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the church this coming Sunday. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for the days that you gave us to be with family. And now, Lord, we're back here together, gathered together in our Sunday school class to learn more about you. And Lord, I'll be honest, life can get busy, and many times after I leave here, if I'm not careful, the things that through your Holy Spirit you've taught me, I can set to the one side. And I pray that that not be the case this week. I pray that as we go about our daily duties, work, home, caring for others, Lord, I just pray that you would remind us of the fact that if you sought it to be important enough to submit to the Spirit of God, Lord, may that be what I do as well in everything. Not just in the things that I deem important enough for the Spirit's involvement, but my everyday activity. When I get up, when I lay down, what I watch, what I read, how I dress, who I hang out with, the things that I say, the things that I do not say, every part of my daily life, may I surrender it to your Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. See you in just a few.